Nobody knew his secret ambition. Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please have a seat. We'll stand you back up here in a minute, but we'll take a bit. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. Obviously, today is Palm Sunday, as we can tell by the wonderful palm fronds that we're all waving. During the singing of the first hymn, we're going to ask you to pass those fronds down to the aisles, and then the kids are going to pick them up. During the song, so if you just keep that in mind. Also, what a wonderful day. We have communion, and so we rejoice in taking in the Lord's table, and so we've got a variety of options for you there. We've got, first of all, just regular bread. Secondarily, we have those little sealed packs if you want just the juice and the cracker, and then we also, if you've got gluten issues, in the muffin things, you'll find gluten-free bread. So just be prepared. For those of you maybe that are visiting, remember we always take the elements together. So you pass them, you hold them, then we take them together. And I sometimes forget that, so I apologize for the past. We still need bags of candy for our Easter egg hunt. This is going to be a bigger event. When you start advertising to the public, public will come, and we rejoice at that, but we need people and some extra candy if we can get it. But really the key here is let's make sure we have enough folks on deck so that if we get overwhelmed, we can improvise. We can't do that without people. So first, if you think, maybe get us a bag of candy, but more importantly, dedicate some time if you have it. Again, we've started a new Bible study that meets on Sunday nights. For those of you who have asked, entry can come at any point. The lessons are individual. Yes, it helps to connect back to the broader picture, but at any point in the stream, you can jump on. And let me give you some reasons why. First of all, Freddie is an excellent expositor of the Bible. That's not a joke. That's not flattery. The lessons the man turns in to me, just to review, are far and away better than most of what you find out there. Again, that's not idle or faint praise. It is exactly what it's worthy of. And for that reason, because when you get Freddie, you get somebody who's a teacher, you get the best of all the worlds. Great curricula, pointing us to the Bible, a great instructor that really can point you to it. And as my little contribution, I'm going to teach a cooking class in front of it. Every day at 3 o'clock, unless I announce otherwise. Today, because I was kind of a dipstick earlier in the week, right? I've decided to celebrate that, and we're going to make dips. I'm going to show you how to make a homemade from scratch spinach and artichoke dip. I'm going to show you how to make a from scratch Mexican restaurant salsa. And then I'm going to make some more of the wonderful cherry fluff and serve it as a dip with some shortbread cookies. So, if you're going to be going to a party at some point, you want to learn how to make a dip, and you can celebrate that it's a reminder that I'm a bit of a dipstick, then come at 3 and I'll show you how to blow the crowds away. And then the great thing is, you come back a little while later, you get to eat some, have a Bible study. It's the best of all worlds. Take advantage of it. This is, of course, Holy Week, and we look forward to deepening our walks this week through it. Beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of Donald and Ivy Black by their family, and so we celebrate that and thank them. I've got one announcement from Clayton to kind of recap our Kairos walk. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this point?
Maundy Thursday service?
Yeah, thank you. Maundy Thursday, we're doing something different. Maundy Thursday, we will have that Reverend Sam Nadler, right? He's going to come and do a really thorough walkthrough of the Seder meal and how it attaches to Jesus Christ and our beliefs therefrom. I've heard of people that have gone to this particular unfolding of the gospel, and they are always amazingly impressed and staggered by the biblical knowledge that comes shining through. They almost, to a person, will say their experience and understanding of Jesus Christ is heightened by this lecture, this talk, right?
Mm-hmm. Very absolutely.
So that's what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock Thursday night, so I look forward to seeing all of y'all here for that. Any other announcements before Clayton tells us about Kairos? Okay.
Good morning. What a tremendous week. It is amazing. I've been doing this since 2007, so 17 years, and there are guys that have been doing it longer. And you just see how God breaks down walls, and you see people coming in. They don't know what to expect. They got these middle-aged white guys. You know, it's like, okay, who are you? What are you going to do? But even not, it doesn't even take 3 days. Thank you for everybody who donated cookies. We had over 2,500 dozen, so we had just about 31,000 cookies that we took into the prison. And not only did we have those for the guest for the week, we do what's called a cookie run, and everybody in the prison got one. So every single person got a dozen cookies, and there were still some left over. So thank you for that. When we go in on the first day, us on the team are given a name, and that is our sponsoree. And my sponsoree's name was Roger Hunter, and so I kind of just welcome him, kind of give him an idea of how the week's going to go, and then they go to their family groups, and they stay with their family groups for the next 3 days. And so I checked up on him. Well, Roger was really quiet when I talked to him, and again, you never know where these guys are. And then yesterday, or the Thursday, the day before we finished, we have what's called an open mic. And so the guys are coming on 3 days, and we just ask them to get up and say, hey, how has these 3 days meant to you? What have you learned? Anything? And Roger got up, and he said, I just want you to know that last night I gave my life to God.
Mm. Praise God.
So if, yeah, amen, amen. So even if he's the only one, which he wasn't, then these weeks are worth it because they have eternal significance. We had people praying every minute round the clock for 3 days, and we have these big prayer wheels, and the guys got to see every hour, every 24 hours for 3 days, people praying for them. We had what you call agape, where we have letters from different communities. We not only had letters from communities all over this country, we had letters from South Africa. We had two from Australia. We had one from Canada. And these are Kairos groups and Emmaus groups saying, we're praying for you right now. So thank you. It was a powerful experience. And if you want to talk further with Jason and I, please do, because it is probably the best ministry outside of the church walls that I've ever been a part of. And I'm so thankful that God gives us this opportunity twice a year. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, those being the announcements, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In this sacred gathering, we turn our eyes to Jesus,
the author of our faith, the bringer of our salvation.
Here we stand together, ready to be transformed
by the words and ways.
As we lift our praise, we let it be a sweet sound.
In the name of Jesus, our hope and joy abound.
Let us continue now in prayer as we come before the Lord, preparing ourselves for worship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit would unfold before us today, infuse our gathering with your divine presence so that every word spoken and every silence shared may be full of your wisdom and truth. Lord, we engage the joyous communion of saints both here and everywhere as we engage with your living word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, building us in the way everlasting. Open our hearts to the boundless wonders of your teaching, and let your Holy Spirit breathe excitement into our souls as we delve into the scriptures. As we stand on the threshold of discovery, we're filled with gratitude for the stories of faith that echo through time to speak into our lives today. Together in one voice with the unity of mind made possible by Jesus Christ and his powerful Holy Spirit, we lift our praise and thanksgiving for the joy of learning, the joy of community, and the joy of living in the light of your amazing and everlasting grace. We make all these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is and always shall be the Word made flesh. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn this morning, please rise and join me and see the screen or page 196. We'll sing together. So please rise and join me. make it any other way. We choose, as worshiping Christians, to confess our sins now corporately aloud together, and we proclaim the truth of our brokenness in our hearts. And so we come to this moment expecting to unburden ourselves, and we accept that God is going to lavish us with his grace. So this week, it's so important as we enter the Holy Week that we take a moment and think deeply and confess internally fully to the Lord. So let us use this time now for confession. Using the words in this morning's bulletin, we say, Heavenly Father, in the quiet of this moment, we come before you, aware of our shortcomings, and at times we wander far from your embrace. We confess that too often we resemble the prodigal, seeking our own path, neglecting your wisdom, and squandering the gifts you've so generously given. In our stubbornness, we've been the elder brother as well, harboring resentment, lacking compassion, and standing aloof from the celebration of your forgiveness. Teach us to live as people of grace, to wear love as our mantle, and to extend the same forgiveness that you so freely give to us. May our lives be a reflection of your inclusive love, a beacon to the lost, and a celebration of the grace that we all stand in need of. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, hear the great and glorious good news of the gospel. Whatever we've brought to the Lord, whatever we will bring to the Lord, is always and forevermore forgiven by his grace, announced to us through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So friends, this morning, every day, hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, your sins, our sins, have been forgiven. And we will live in the kingdom of God forevermore. Amen. Sing words that reflect the depth and profundity of our full faith. Seated, and at this point we'd like to ask the kids and the youth to come forward for a time that's just for them with Miss Petey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all? You all okay? No? Yes? No? Okay. Last week, I gave out the fish boxes. And they are supposed to be, you're supposed to be collecting your coins and bring these back next Sunday. Did everybody get one? If you didn't get one, yeah, come and get one. What's special about today? What day is it? Palm Sunday. What happened on Palm Sunday? No, that's next week. That'll be Friday. But Jesus entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And the people were waving their palms, just like we did as we came down the aisle. So thank you for helping with that. What was getting ready to happen to Jesus? He was going to be crucified on the cross. Oh my goodness. Such a week. There's all kinds of things that happen this week. We have Maundy Thursday, we have Good Friday, and Sunday we have Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. Please be mindful as you are going through this week. Pray for those events, and I hope to see you on Maundy Thursday. Hope to see you at the Easter egg hunt on Saturday. Okay, pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Holy Week. And please let us be reminded.
And please let us be reminded.
Of what happened to Christ.
Of what happened to Christ.
And that we can celebrate.
And that we can celebrate.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
His resurrection.
His resurrection.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else who wants to leave the church?
Even though we're in the spirit, in the season of Lent, today is a day to celebrate because our Lord marched into the city, I should say, rode into the city with palm branches being waved. It was a day of celebration. Unfortunately, those same people that waved palm branches were going to be the same people that shouted, "Crucify Him." But for today, we celebrate. That's why we're wearing festive shirts. That's why we know that that time, you know, the Pharisees didn't want this to happen. And the Pharisees told Jesus to silence his disciples. And he said, if they do, the rocks are going to cry out. So we know how important this day was, knowing the Messiah was entering the city. So this song has a Jamaican flair to it. It's called "Blessed Is He."
Donkey 2,000 years ago, Christ rode into Jerusalem so all the world would know he was fulfilling prophecy, and everyone could sing and worship our Savior, Messiah and King. And they sang Hosanna, Hosanna. They dip in his pot. Dear hearts, we're overflowing. Dear spirits, came alive. We've been well-dulled trolls, and one has finally arrived. And they sing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So we are here to worship and glorify his name. And celebrate, and we sing Hosanna, Hosanna. Just to see who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Just to see who comes in the name of the Lord. Just to see who comes.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a word of prayer, asking God to participate with us, to bring to light the truth of his word. So let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we just ask this day that you would bring forward your Holy Spirit in a powerful way. Allow the Spirit to bring Jesus Christ in the fullness of his truth into our hearts. Allow us to really connect that Jesus was truly human and came into Jerusalem on this day and prepared himself to lay down his life for us and for our salvation. Help us also connect, Father God, with the truth of Jesus as God, fully divine, fully operating with your power, and yet that wonderful package of God and man that came forward in Jesus Christ delivered such humility, Father God. And so now, as we approach his word, we ask, we dare to ask for the same humility, to allow this word to soak in and penetrate us in a newfound way. Allow your gospel message to awaken us in a powerful manner. We ask all these things in the strong name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Good morning. This morning's Old Testament reading will be taken from the book of Micah, the 7th chapter, verses 16 through 22. They'll appear on the screen. You can follow along or either page 925 in the Pew Bible. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall lay their hands on their mouths. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, like the crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their strongholds. They shall turn in dread to the Lord our God, and they shall be in fear of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wow, that's such a powerful word. And it prefigured Christ, right? Like what they're talking about is the day will come when the Lord will appear and take the sins away. Again, the prophets
As we read more and more, we see just how meticulous God our Father was about announcing his Son long beforehand. Again, we in the church point and say this is proof that God was really working and really did something amazing. Let me tell you, as a contrast, somebody who did something not so amazing, me, I goofed up. We're going to talk about it just very briefly is the nature of the sermon. But I want us to turn to a different passage. We need to come into it as we recognize this is the entry into the Holy Week. So I've changed the reading. So what's going to appear, and much to my chagrin, because Denise went through a lot of trouble to put the right passages, and now I'm wrong-footing her. But the good news is I'll do it next week. Not next week, past Easter. We've done our work. I really want to read the triumphal entry. And in order to do that, I'm going to go and turn my Bible to the Pew Bible to page 977. If you want to read along, since it won't be on the screen, that's 977. And I'm going to read the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Not the entirety, but you'll catch the point. Please hear now as I read this word of our Lord. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to you, the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed him. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I am continuing a sermon series that I began a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of had a bumpy beginning. I did the first sermon, and then we had Sheila come and do Women's Day. And then y'all, you know, every once in a while, I'll pitch a really bad sermon, and that was one of them a couple weeks ago, so I apologize. I wanted to tie some strings together, and I can see that I didn't really do it, but I'm grateful that those of you who shared with me that I was confusing and opaque also shared with me some good news, that one message did get through, that it was about Jesus and the Bible. So in that mess, if you got Jesus and Bible, good. That's the best I could have delivered last week, so let's just leave it at that. But this sermon series, it really is speaking to my heart, because what I look back and I see is a history of the Church of Jesus Christ getting off base, like drifting to the wrong stuff. And it happens habitually and repeatedly, and if we don't see the trend, we may not realize that it may be happening to us right now, right, as such a time as this, as the Scriptures might tell us. So the setup, guys, is very simple. I'm going to tell you a mistake that I made in ministry. I'm going to then hopefully bridge that to a mistake that historically we can point out and say, gosh, the church, not just pastors, but the church got this wrong. Then I want us to take the next step, to ask ourselves, maybe have I come along for the right ride? And then hopefully delivered us to that place that I think is holy and absolutely in Jesus' heart, which is the declaration of our shortcomings with the expectation of receiving God's amazing grace. That is the heart and soul of what we do and what we talk about. In my opinion, I think that is the fullest example of what the gospel and, more importantly, the entirety of the Scriptures lead us to. So how do I get us there? Well, I'm going to start with me, right? I told you we're doing dips tonight to teach because I was a dipstick. How was I a dipstick? Well, I'm sure there are 1,000 different ways last week, but I'm going to point to just one. The one was I had to get my worship bulletin done on Monday because I was going out of town on Tuesday. And I didn't look at my calendar when I did it. I didn't realize this was Palm Sunday until it was already to the press and through. Right? You say, Jason, what happened? Well, sometimes the secular world encroaches in on you and it makes you kind of lose your head a little bit. And this is a clear example. How do I miss that? Well, my head was really more focused in, am I going to make sure to have my phone charger this time when I go to Kairos? I wanted to make sure I actually packed the right pairs of underwear, right? You know, preparation stuff, secular stuff. And it led me to make a mistake early in the week that I couldn't correct when I figured it out. So I'm a dipstick. We're going to celebrate that by making some dips tonight. But now I want to turn you to other things so you can embrace that and understand we make those mistakes. Guys, a couple of weeks ago, I introduced you to a particular time and place in the church's history, and I need to return us there. The year is 312 A.D., and at this juncture, something amazing happens, to my reading of the Bible. At this point, this community that we've read about and understood in Acts 2, which was celebratory, so vibrant and full of life that people were joining them by the bucketfuls. They were living with joy and peace, and they were constantly praying and reading the word and listening to the apostles speak. But then something happens, and about 250 years from that point forward, the church, even under persecution, has become different somehow. And how do we know that? Well, in 312, Christians go onto the battlefield for a bad cause. Constantine, not a good guy. He was so scared of the Lord, he reserved baptism until the moment he was going to die because he didn't want to get anything wrong. He thought it was just going to guarantee him this afterlife. And who knows, maybe if we get there and we see Constantine, we'll know that was really effective, and it could be. But the church really lost themselves at that point. And we see it. We see it happen. We see how the church goes from this spiritually driven relation with Jesus. Like the early writings are really much more spiritual in their nature than they are theological. But it changes because philosophers get in the mix and eggheads. And the next thing you know, the people are being led astray. How do we know that? We actually read 2 Peter, 2 Timothy, some of these pastoral letters where the words of warning are coming. Bad teachers. Don't listen. Then we get drafted onto the field in 312. But now I want to tell you what happens after that. What happens after that is this ecstatic community that had changed a little bit now goes from being the outsiders to being the ultimate insiders. Within a generation, the men who were persecuted under Diocletian, tortured to death, put into the gladiatorial games, all of a sudden, they went from being outcasts and dreaded by the society to not only being fully entrenched members in it, but being members of the aristocratic class. The priesthood became professional, and the church drifted further and further. Less and less was the movement about Jesus, about surrendering, about repentance, about sanctification, and it became about empire building. It became about how do we expand this thing in such a way that enriches a group of people, right? We lost our way, and how do we know it? Because right at the beginning and around the year 400, as this transition of the clergy into professional nobility in the Roman Empire, as this is happening, there is a group of people that get the heck out of Dodge, right? They say, the Christians have lost their way, and their response was to flee into the desert. Now, look, that doesn't sound like that great a deal to me, but what they were running from was the ongoing secularization of the church. They said, we reject this. This, whatever this is, it's not what it's supposed to be. And we get the best writings from the era. If you really want to get the best spiritual wisdom from that era in the church, you go to the Desert Fathers, right? These cats got out into the desert, and they just hung out there and thought about Jesus amongst themselves. And they came back with an incredible word of warning for the church. Saint Anthony. Well, he gets to be a saint, but his name is Anthony. He's one of these desert fathers. He goes out in about the year 400 into the middle of nowhere, and he writes this. He said, I saw the snares that the enemy spreads out over the world. And I said, groaning, what can get through me? What can get through from such snares? Then I heard a voice of God saying to me, humility. Benedict of Nursia comes at this point. Saint Benedict, you may have heard of him. It's his rule that sets up monastic life. But Benedict was rejecting what the church was becoming. Again, away from a spiritual experience with Jesus Christ that's individual, that takes a corporate form in this amazing community that is attractive and grows, into this thing that was really wooden, formulaic, and not much life. It didn't work. And over time, the church groaned and rejected it. And then we have another inflection point coming in about the year 1100. And we'll get to that. But I want us to see this drift. Because not only did it happen to me this week, it happened to the church. And happens to the church at times that continue to occur. And it's a drift away from the core message. What does Jesus Christ concern himself with? What does Jesus, our Lord and Savior, want to seem to dedicate his time and energy into? And what we find is that oftentimes the simple, clear, direct teachings of Jesus Christ get thrown away, and some other thing sets itself up, and we all take it for granted and don't ever ask, what happened to this? We need a do-over. We need a time and a place that we can say, hey, maybe we've drifted a little bit here. Maybe we've gotten some things wrong. And if we're to apply that to our denomination, what are some ways that we might see that drift numerically and understand it so that we can correct it? I find that there is a very easy way to see that maybe we have some problems, and that's simply looking at the rawest numbers that we can look at. What was membership like in 1984 in the Presbyterian Church USA, and what is it today in the year 2024? Believe it or not, they won't even give you the numbers. You have to get them from other places. And then what you find is in that 40 years, we've lost 63% of our members. Gone. Now compare us to the joyful, ecstatic church of Acts 2, 42 through 47, and we start to see the difference. You see, the Presbyterian Church pushes things and ideas on us that are wonderful, I guess, if they're understood in a biblical sense. But what they almost never do is return us back to Jesus Christ and to declare to us that what Jesus Christ is saying in his earliest words are repent and believe the kingdom of God has come near. Like, that's Jesus' core message. And he starts with it, and he starts articulating it with greater profundity and force throughout his message. But it always comes back there. There is something out of whack in me, myself and I, that is out of shape, misaligned, misproportioned, misdirected, misunderstood, because my heart isn't in alignment with Jesus Christ and the unity of love, grace, tolerance, respect, joy that he points to. It's not only the church that needs a do-over, it's me. And maybe, if I dare I say it, maybe it's you. I don't know. I don't understand, and I can't be privy to your walk with Jesus Christ. But I do know one thing. This is Holy Week. This is the week where we come to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, take all of me, it's rotten. Give me you. Reduce me to nothing, but give me your love, and I will be sufficient. Because with God's love, I am created by God's love. I am saved through Jesus Christ. And by God's love, we are all who believe in him going to rejoice forever and ever and ever in the kingdom of God. That's the promise. Turn from sin and allow Christ to come into your heart. I had some fun conversations this week at Kairos. All right, Kairos, I get to encounter a brother in Christ in ministry that I just love. His name is Bob Jack. He was in the Charlotte Presbytery at Pleasant Hill for, I think, 20 years. He was the last evangelical Christian among us. I kind of am, but he was true. And he was talking to me about a time where he was gathered with colleagues in the PCUSA, and he began an earnest question: what would you do if somebody came to you and told you they wanted to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and could you show them how to do it? That simple. And the man's reply, what he heard back, I totally get. He told them, the man he asked, he said, well, I think I'd probably send him to a Baptist church. What? Then you look at the emails the Presbyterian Church sends us through the Presbytery of Charlotte, and our elders are privy to it. How many times do they mention the word Jesus in any of those emails? Not enough. None. Right? Again, I'm not here to stir that pot, and please don't take it that I am. I want us to focus today and everlastingly so until the kingdom comes on that simple, basic message. Man, my life needs a do-over. I need to come before some almighty God that established the rules and simply admit, man, I have fallen short of the glory that you have shown to me in creation, but most especially through Jesus Christ. I need to say to that God, mold me, melt me, use me for your gospel and glory, but let none of me, none of that egghead, none of the one that wants to preach science when he should be preaching grace, let none of that remain. None of it. Because in that moment, friends, what the Bible tells me is true will happen, and it will continue to happen to you insofar as long as you continue to take that simple step. James tells us, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We're coming to the Lord's table, and I know I'm running out of time. This is more important than this. All of it, right there. Because that's a sacrament, that's the Lord's table. There we will really take in the grace that we talk about in a special way. But man, does the Bible give us some caution here. And I want to read it to you, and then I want us to take a couple of minutes to consider what it says. I'm going to open my Bibles. I don't know the page. I do know the citation. If you've got one on you, let's open to 1 Corinthians, I think it's 10. Give me a mulligan, a do-over on that if I get it wrong. Maybe 1 Corinthians 11. Yeah, all right. All right, I am now on, I'm on 1 Corinthians 11. I'm on page 1136. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to sit down and we're going to reflect on it for a couple of minutes. Paul, the apostle, writes this. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that you come together as a church. There are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have been differences among you which show your... There are differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without eating. And he continues from there. 27 and 29 get us to the cusp of it. 27 says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man or a woman ought to examine him or herself before he eats or she drinks of the cup. For anyone who drinks and eats without recognizing the body of himself, that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. What the word is telling us here is not meant to scare us nor to frighten us. It is to, though, talk with seriousness about what's about to happen. It is to draw the attention to the fact that we need to examine our hearts and come before the Lord with the willingness to let go of all the junk and the garbage and the stuff that holds us behind. We come to this table and we all eat worthily because we all believe in Jesus Christ. We all believe that he died on the cross for us and our salvation, and that he was raised again to new life, and that in his ascension into heaven, Jesus Christ sent us the Holy Spirit, who is alive and active right now. And that's the power that draws us to this table. We're drawn to this table for the right reasons. Let's come with the right hearts. So let's take a moment and reflect and rise with joy to come forward to partake in the Lord's table. Let us continue in prayer together. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for drawing us now to your table. For this grace that you share with us, that we take in a tangible form, is indeed so good that words can't quite capture it. This bread and this juice can't quite capture it, but they deliver to us in a perfect way your grace. And Father, we need it. We've come before you, each and every one of us, asking for a do-over. We've asked and beseeched you, Father God. We know where the skeletons are buried, and we know what we've done. And we bring that all forward and give it to you, asking for your forgiveness. And knowing that even in the asking, we prove the truth of your word. That anyone who is in Christ is new creation. The old life has passed away. The new life has begun. So, Father God, let us celebrate that new life by coming and doing what men and women who celebrate often do, and that's to eat and to feast together. Allow us to be the joyful communion of your Son, Jesus Christ. Allow the Spirit to dwell richly among us as we come to this, your table, to experience this, your amazing grace. Father God, we love you in and through Jesus Christ, and we rejoice at what you do at this table. Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit comes upon this bread and this juice, rendering it something spiritually wonderful for us to consume, necessary, vital, and allow us to depart from this table with the sure knowledge that we truly are among the elect, that we truly will rejoice at a table with the Lord forever and ever. It's by your grace that we are led, and by your love that we are fed. And Father God, we thank you for that as we lift up our prayer that you taught us, praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread. After giving thanks to God, he took the bread and broke it, saying, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Every time we drink of this cup, we do so knowing and trusting in the name of the Lord. Friends, though, every time we eat this bread and drink this juice, we make a statement proclaiming God's resurrected power from this day forward into eternity. And we do so on good stead, for the Lord Jesus Christ alone taught us to do so. So friends, as we partake of this feast with our hearts rightly corrected, we know that we encounter Jesus in a special way, preparing us for that feast that is never ending, that comes to those who believe in Jesus Christ. So come now and taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the body of Jesus Christ given for us all. Friends, this is the cup of salvation. Friends, this is the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for feeding us at this table. We thank you for the spiritual joys that you brought forward for us and for our safety and security. Gracious God, we bless your name by your Holy Spirit's power in and through this sacrament. We thank you for feeding us. Heavenly Father, awaken us in this meal to the needs, not only of our community, but of our church in this state and union. Heavenly Father, we lift up all the many people who this week have undergone surgeries or who now wait in advance of them. We pray for them all, lifting them up individually in our hearts by name and asking for your richest blessings to be upon them. Father God, for those who are still mourning loved ones, we all often stand in that league. And Heavenly Father, we ask this week as we draw nearer to Easter, as the memory of those who have passed becomes even more acute, Father God, in those moments, find us, locate us, redeem us with your grace, and share with us that assuring word that our loved ones are truly with you, and that in the eschaton we will truly be joined together for all time in bodily form. Heavenly Father, we pray for the members of this church, whatever issues that are on their heart, we pray that they would come forward to you and turn it all over, casting all their anxieties, all their shortcomings, and fully on you. Let us all have a do-over. Heavenly Father, bless this community, bless this side of Charlotte, bless all that our members encounter with the good and saving and gospel news that Christ has died, that Christ is risen. And come next Sunday, we're going to rejoice because Christ is coming again. It's in his holy and everlasting name we make these prayers of intercession and supplication to you, trusting your word, trusting our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Friends, we come now into the time in which we share our blessings that the Lord has provided back with him. And so we do so with joyful hearts, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Don't I know me?
Let us pray. Father God, we just rejoicingly celebrate you for the gifts that you share with us, for the gifts that we return. We know that it all goes to glorify you, and our hearts rest content in that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Guys, I want to apologize for running a little long today. I would like to point out that I don't do it very often. What?
All right.
I don't do it very often, but I clearly did today. But don't miss out on some of the fun stuff that we've got coming. At 3 o'clock, be back here. Remember, I'm a dipstick. We're going to make some dip. But then at 6 o'clock, come back to taste the goods. But also really to taste and sample, if you haven't already, Freddie and I's, and really it's Freddie's, but Freddie and I's Bible study, because it is that good, better than the food by several leagues. And also this week, Holy Week, right? Let's be on our knees. Let's be in prayer. And it can start right now. You know, one of the things I haven't emphasized as much is that we have, after the service, some dedicated prayer folks that are going to be back in the library. Avail yourself of this for any reason. If you've got surgeries or things coming up, feel the power of prayer. We know that it works. But if you want to take a different step and you want to step out and maybe re-surrender your life to the Lord, it's a great place to do it amongst brothers and sisters in Christ that really understand that we all stand in need of a do-over every day, every way, but that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us that grace and urges us to unburden ourselves and to feel his new life flowing. So if that's what you need to do today, do it. Or do it sometime this week, I will. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, we thank you now for this worship, and we pray that you would send us out in your holy and everlasting name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.